Welcome to CII Podcasts.
Hello everyone and welcome to another interesting episode of the CII Podcasts. My name is Jayant Sriram and I'll be hosting this episode for you. Today we are here to discuss a very interesting topic, combating non-communicable diseases, prevention and management. Over the last two decades, non-communicable diseases or NCDs have seen a steady rise as the leading cause of death in India. It is not only the growth in NCDs, but also their early arrival amongst the Indian population that is quite alarming. NCDs not only affect an individual's health and productivity, but also impact the overall economic growth of a nation. So what are some key diseases and risk factors that require immediate attention? In what ways can government policies and initiatives better prioritize public health to ensure a healthier population? These are the topics we'll discuss today with our guest, Shobana Kamineni, past president, CII, and executive vice chairperson, Apollo Hospitals. Being an esteemed member of its founding family, she has taken forward the institution's legacy by steering the development of new verticals within the Apollo Group, showcasing her adeptness in spearheading innovative initiatives. In 2017-18, Ms. Kamineni etched her unique legacy by becoming the first woman president of CII. Her leadership exemplified unwavering commitment to shaping progressive policies and practices. Thank you so much for being here with us, Ms. Kamineni, and for joining us on the CII podcast today.
Hey, thanks, Jane. Thanks for the introduction also.
We're really looking forward to the conversation today. And so just to start with a broad question, can you elaborate on the significance of addressing the rising prevalence of NCDs in India, as I mentioned in my introduction, especially considering their impact on both individual health and, you know, the country's economic growth?
So, you know, I think that none of us can step out or whether you're, you know, at any public place, airport, movie theater, just walking, even in your workplace, look around you and please tell me how many of the people, those that you know, those that you don't, really look healthy. Just do they, you know, just their BMI. BMI means your circumference of fat, what you're the measurement of how fit it. In India, we have, you know, a real problem here because, and you can visually see it. You walk and look at the gait, look at the speed, just look at the way that India is progressing. I think our minds really want to be up there to be the third most progressive country in the world, where our GDP, our incomes, but are we really looking at what matters most? And that's the health of the nation. So, you know, for the last 4 years, Apollo Hospitals has been publishing Health of the Nation report. This year we just finished for 2024. And interestingly enough, it's not a small cohort of people actually. We've used de-identified data of our own, where we do almost 1.3 million checkups a year, the most number by any cohort. And on top of this, this is layered with, I think it's about 56,000 people that we've done it for more than 5 years. So we've just been following these. And then, of course, there's quality data out there in terms of cancer registries, in terms of customer surveys on preventive health checkups, the National Family Health Survey, the Global Cancer Observatory, and WHO. You know, there are various organizations that we can pull secondary data. Now the power of AI, I think that this year's report really is most telling. And it doesn't tell us anything that we don't intuitively know. And I think that's important, that the growth in NCDs is alarming. But most importantly, it's actually an early arrival. Look around you, it's not your aunties or your grandparents or the older folk that are not doing well and that might have problems of heart disease or diabetes or cancer, which we always used to think, oh, cannot happen to the young people. It's actually changing. And I have statistics for this, which I'm sure we'll discuss. And I think that to me, this is that, you know, the report really spotlights this.
Right. Thank you for that answer. I think the important point that you bring up is it's not just the statistics, but it's just the reality that we see around every single day, of the fact that a great proportion of people just don't seem to be in great, you know, health condition. I want to just move on to ask, how do you perceive the collective impact of NCDs on society beyond individual health outcomes? How does that impact factor into healthcare planning and policy?
I mean, the first thing that it affects is really the entire economic growth. Just imagine that the cost of NCDs, the cost of medicines, the cost of people becoming ill, the cost of a diabetic, you know, all these weigh down on economic prosperity. So, and they project that by 2040, we could be spending, if we don't do the right thing, close to $4 to $5 trillion on just health issues. And I don't think that India, that when we really want to be the third largest economy in the world, wants to spend money on treating ourselves. You know, we want to use that money to invest back into the country. So to me, that's the first fundamental, and every bit of society will get affected. The cost of not finding the diabetics earlier, the cost of not finding the hypertensives earlier, and worst of all, the cost of not finding cancer earlier. If you look at it today, under 30, the rise of cancer has, today we are the largest in the world. And I think one in seven almost women have the propensity to contract a breast cancer. And then we have cervical cancers. Among men, the most common that you see is lung, mouth, and prostate. And all of these are, you know, taking place at a much younger level. And of course, the number of pre-diabetics, the number of people with hypertension. So it's a big cost burden. It's a big cost burden in terms of India today. I run a bunch of pharmacies, and I do know that we are the cheapest cost of medicine. But what's the use when, in terms of quantities, where of number of prescriptions in the world, India is the second highest. And I think that is a telling, you know, that these are telling factors that it just comes out of your own incomes. There is no real good outpatient health insurance. It's fine when you fall sick, that the government and the private sector do have, even though there are a lot of people uncovered. But primary care, outpatient care is completely self-pay in India. So imagine the cost of trillions of dollars going into paying for these NCDs. I think the problem is very, very real. And the report that we talk about, the state of the nation, I think it just really highlights the importance of taking action early and immediate.
Thank you again. And I think some important data already there. I, for one, didn't know about the fact that India has the second highest number of prescriptions globally, as you mentioned. So just to expand a little bit, what are some of the key diseases and risk factors highlighted in the report that you mentioned that require immediate attention?
So, you know, here's something that we don't really like to talk about, but we see it in the West. Mental health disorders. So, and it's not just, people with depression, which again, the age group of 21%, of people that we surveyed in the population of 18 to 25 felt that they had some level of depression. But it's also sleep. And now the sleep one really comes as you grow a bit older, about 65, 38% of people reported that they find it difficult to sleep. And I think that not having a good night's sleep has its repercussion in many, many other things. I don't want to go into it, but you do know hypertensive. It can cause diabetes. It can cause early death. So all these. Another thing is that, you know, we don't catch, you know, like just BP, for instance. There are only of the 100 people, you know, of every 100 people, 13 are really screened and they show that they're hypertensive. But there are almost 66% which are predisposed or can be called pre-hypertensive. So, and only 21 are normal. Now, just imagine that we are looking at a society that, many of our kids will probably live till their 100. And can you imagine the burden of people and the quality of life that you, medicine can make you live longer? But what is it if you don't have a great quality of life? And I'm not getting into, the final subject is really of NCDs. The big bad one is diabetes. So 1 in 10 Indians have uncontrolled diabetes, and 1 in 4 of them actually have frank diabetes or a predisposition. So this is a huge, huge figure, in people who are about 45. So I think the central point, and I expect that would be your next question, is what do you do about it? But really the fact is that that India does have this triple whammy. We have the highest incidence of cancer. We have a huge number of hypertensive and pre-hypertensive, just as we have for diabetes. And now mental health is coming up for the young. So this is serious stuff.
Yeah, thank you once again. And I think that was an answer that was sort of richly filled with data. And as you rightly said, that leads me to my next question. How might the insights gleaned from all of this data analysis aid in developing more tangible solutions for disease prevention and, perhaps also improving diagnostic accuracy? And that, of course, that leads to, creating perhaps more personalized and patient-centric treatment approaches. But let's just start with that point. How do we sort of really learn from this data?
So we're not the only country that has NCDs. I think that there's some interesting lessons that you can take from the West. The first most important is testing. How many of the people that you know, you have a test every year. And most people say, oh, I'm too young. Well, the others say, I feel just fine. But that's not it. NCD is really silent sometimes. And I think the importance of testing is super important. Most Western countries and developing countries, their economies are predicated on the fact that they know the state of their population's health. So I think that testing is the number one thing. The second thing is, we seriously believe, and I think that Apollo has believed in this for many years now, that we cannot build, no group or no bunch of doctors can build enough hospitals to treat the sick India. It's way better for us to try and keep India healthy. And to keep India healthy, the nudges are very small. Look at examples. Every food you eat gives you the number of calories. It tells you your trans fats. Think of, 15 years ago, people didn't know about trans fat. Now, if you look at it, to find trans fat in foods is very difficult. So these are the kind of behavioral changes. Reduce salt. Look at look at sodium intake. Look at the types of sugar, the low glycemic. What are the alternatives? These are the easy things that people can do to switch to better behaviors. So one is testing. The second is switching to better behaviors, just being a little less sedentary. I do think that we as a nation don't get up and get on our feet enough. So I think that culture of those that we should have better infrastructure that where people can breathe nicely in cities and go out there, spend time outside, not just our kids, but not be glued to TVs and so I think spending less sedentary behavior. So my first point is testing. Second point is just behaviors that we know instinctively are the right behaviors. The third again is quite simple, is that when people get tested, we've seen that 53% of them actually follow the nudges and their sugar is controlled or their hypertension is controlled. So this thing can actually be controlled to a large extent. So I want you at any time during this podcast, those who are listening, just to remember that there's a 5 to 6 trillion figure bill waiting out there for India if we don't get it right, to just do these things to keep people just a little more healthy, spend money on being healthy rather than draining you when you're sick. These are the kinds of things that I think that we have to consciously be, you know, reports like this, daily behaviors are important. I want to leave you with one little incident. I think that this took place many, many years ago during a previous prime minister, when India was completely, the babies were affected with iodine deficiency. This was in the 60s, if you remember, you know, that it was a serious deficiency that was creating, you know, many, many deaths. And the Prime Minister just ordained saying that all salt in India had to be iodized. And just that one thing, and within one generation, we didn't have it anymore. It's the same with Gates Foundation and with the Indian government, how we eradicated polio. So these are some big ticket that I think that the government started talking about giving people, the human papillomavirus injection, so you don't get hepatitis C for young girls, and it prevents cancer in this thing, you know. So I think that these are the kinds of good measures that public and private can get together to do the big population stuff. But otherwise, just my three and which will seriously contribute to the health country.
Thank you. And I think some really important points brought up there about the importance of preventive care and how, you know, the public can participate in that, because as you rightly point out, the costs associated with outpatient tertiary care are, you know, for a sick India, the numbers are just too much to contemplate. Just to move on to another question, though, about data, considering that a significant portion of the data utilized comes from de-identified hospital information systems, how does your hospital ensure the reliability and integrity of the data presented in your analysis and the report?
Well, that's what people are always scared of, right? Every time you have this thing for a cookie, or you think that everyone is that your privacy is affected. I think that during COVID, when everyone gave their data at that point in time, it was out of clear necessity. So on one hand, I want to establish that that collecting data is actually what it can do for the greater good. Now, what do we do? I think as Apollo Hospitals, from the very beginning, I can remember from our very, very first computer system, we always invested an inordinate amount in terms of privacy. And I think that all this data is de-identified and no one has access to it. So this is something that we think that the patient is the only one who has the right to be able to see their record in its entirety. We are able to take out bits of it, completely de-identified, to be able to give data like this and be able to give nudges whenever it's required. But investing in good data cybersecurity, to me, is the only responsible way to go. And healthcare is something that it's not like we don't get attacked, but it's how the systems that we put in place that are most important. And I think you'll find that regular audits of this and a very clear transparency in how this is done, because we felt it was important enough to share this report and not keep the data hidden, because India has to know. These are facts that affect every single Indian, you could be the 1 out of 10 who has uncontrolled diabetes and doesn't know it, or the 1 in 4 that could contract, you know, once you cross 40, or the with high BP, or what, you know, God forbid, cancer. So this is personal, and which is why on one side, why as much as we prevent that we protect data, on the other side, we think it's a national duty to be able to give some of these insights.
Right, thank you for that. And you know, can you also discuss any notable partnerships or collaborations that that Apollo has engaged in to address the challenges posed by NCDs, particularly in the area of prevention and management, which I think, you know, you stressed on a lot.
So a couple of things. One is that my favorite is that we work with CII very closely to be able to see that, you know, tuberculosis in the workplace that causes this drug resistance and, you know, antibiotic resistance. This is something that CII is really working very, very hard, and Apollo Hospitals has been partnering with them to see what we can do to eradicate this in the workplace, just as the government wants to eradicate TB, much like they did polio. So I think this is something that we're working. We work with many of CII's primary healthcare clinics. So that's a good one too, because it's really taking it at its root. Another one is the Edison Alliance, because we've found a model. This is a super interesting model that we partnered with the American, towers company, ATC. So ATC has towers across most backward districts of India. And in that, we took some of these and put physical clinics. And we said, at the price of $10, could we monitor a person's health, give him basic medicine, generic medicine, and control and give the right nudges. So it's, again, what I say, that you test, that you do the preventive measures and nudges, and doing so, can you bring down the cost? And we were able to do it, really. And we think that that experiment can actually, if we have a large enough cohort, it won't cost more than $5. And I think that kind of is something that would be a great world model. A big one that we do that actually has got global recognition is the cardiac risk, the CVD score that we do with Microsoft. That we've taken a lot of this data and put it into, you know, in this large learning models and AI. And what it does is that for Asians, it can actually predict if you have a series of, you know, this of when you do a screening test, it can give you the predictability of you being or having some kind of a heart problem at a particular time. So we're trying to shorten this time, and we're trying to make it way more incisive to say that with this, we believe that in the near future, we can predict a heart attack maybe a week before it occurs, if we can get, you know, the right inputs that come in from person at risk. So this kind of scoring we actually, you know, have been doing. Other countries that have Asian, that have significant amount of Indians are using it, like Singapore, right? And we use it in India. So this is the really cool stuff that is happening in healthcare. And I think that all of this coming together will have a great impact on bringing down, you know, and managing and keeping India healthier for longer.
Thank you. That does sound, actually, all of those initiatives sound actually very cool indeed. And just as we're sort of winding up the podcast discussion today, I think you may have touched on some of this, but would you like to highlight some other key initiatives or strategies that your organization plans to implement based on the insights and recommendations derived from the research?
I think that, our organization really is doubling down on creating these tools for checkups. We must get those early interventions in place. We did 1.3 million checkups, but now what we're trying to do is to make it way more personalized, because sometimes, you know, you run a battery of tests because it's over a large number of people. But now what we're trying to do is to really narrow it down for the person, and within that, try and see how much we can take off and use data that's already available. Like if you've been looking on the internet or you've been treated for something else, how can we put all these tools together to be able to give people a diagnosis and to be able to give them nudges earlier and way more accurately? Because next time you do a Google search, most of the time it's not going to figure whether how old you are, male, female, what's your this thing, where, what's the environment you live in. But just think, you know, that now what we're doing is with our clinical intelligence engine, we're putting all this together and personalizing it so that the next time you're searching, and I think that's the evolution of the AI in healthcare, will be when you can actually give people a very, very personalized scorecard on how, what are the things they can do to keep themselves healthy. This is what really excites us, and Apollo Pro Health is there, and we have. So, you know, you need some physicals, you need some online, but all these coming together really can actually make a super.
Okay, thank you so much. And on that very interesting note, we'll wrap up the discussion for today. I'd like to thank you so much, Ms. Kamineni, for joining us on the CII podcast, for sharing your views and your insights and making time for us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I hope that next time you're in a public place, you're watching and understanding, and more Indians will do something about it. And we need to get up more often.
I'm sure they will after listening to this podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to CII Podcasts.